This is one of the songs we're going to be performing this Saturday night in Atlanta at the Mink Slide concert at the Center Stage Theater. Hope y'all got your tickets at minkslide.com. Only a few days left to come join us. Get your tickets at minkslide.com. How are y'all doing? We're doing an early show this week because I'm actually on my way to Atlanta. So I'm getting the show knocked out this week. I'm getting Tariq Radio knocked out. We're going to chop up some real good game on tonight's show, ladies and gentlemen. I might take calls, I might not, but I got some heavy things I want to chop up. So what we're going to do, family, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. Let everybody know that we're live. And we're going to make it do what it do, so hold tight.
Yo,
quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Attention parents and teachers, are you tired of your children listening to music that glamorizes drug use and negative stereotypes? If so, check out Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an award-winning educational program that uses hip-hop to teach children mathematics, science, self-esteem, and much, much more. This is a black-owned product that needs to be supported. Go to giftedandlit.com to order their program today. Remember, that's giftedandlit.com. Yo, are you a fan of personal development and self-help? Loving hip-hop? You love to listen to podcasts? Well, check out my man Poe at PoePolitikin.com. This was founded in 2008. PoePolitikin is a self-help meets hip-hop brand. And with each interview, they teach the babies and they share success secrets with you, the listener. Past guests of the show include Yo Gotti, Currency, MC Light, Dead Prez, Rashida, Gorgeous Dre, and so many more special people out there in the game. So PoePolitikin has featured over 500 guests. Subscribe to his podcast on iTunes and listen to their most recent interview with Rap-A-Lot founder Jay Prince and rapper Big Pooh from Lil Brother. So check them out right now. Go to their website, PoePolitikin.com, and follow them on social media at PoePolitikin. Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail? Or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines. The new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines. Now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
Get ready, Atlanta and surrounding areas. Flex Entertainment proudly presents Mink Slide Live in Concert. Coming to the Center Stage Theater in Atlanta, Saturday, December 22nd, 2018, 7:30 p.m. Mink Slide is bringing the funk party to Atlanta, performing songs from their critically acclaimed album, Egyptian Musk. Also performing, special guest, the APX. Atlanta, don't miss the fun party. Concert event of the year. Get your tickets. tickets to see Mink Slide live in concert with special guest The APX at Ticketmaster.com. For more information, go to MinkSlide.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered! Oh, we're back. We are back, family. Glad to have y'all tuning in. We got the commercials out the way. Hope you patronize the sponsors. But I hope y'all have your tickets to the Mink Slide concert in Atlanta this Saturday. We got 4 days, and we're going to be rocking it out. All my Atlanta people, hit me up, my Atlanta media people. We're going to be doing interviews down there this week. So all my Atlanta media people, hit me up so I can chop it up with you. Let me know what's on your mind so we can chop it up. Also, we got different colors for the North Sentinel Island University shirts. All right? So y'all go to hiddencolorsfilm.com. I'm rocking the blue one right now. These things are just fly. Just real fly. We got all different colors to choose from. And we also have, we got sweaters and t-shirts. Get that at hiddencolorsfilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. And again, all my Atlanta people, my press folks, if y'all want to do interviews when I get down there, email me at info@tariqelite.com. TariqElite.com. Boy, it's a lot of stuff I want to touch on tonight. And I need y'all to put me in check, man. You know, YouTube has this thing of demonetizing a lot of my videos, especially when my videos get close to 100,000 views. They look for any reason to demonetize the video. That's why I put a Patreon link under the description here. But I want to see if I can do the show. I'm not going to try not to use profanity, and I want to see if they're going to flag it still, or if the profanity thing is just a ruse. Because a lot of times when I'm tackling systematic racism, that's when I get flagged. But they do it under the ruse, under the guise of gratuitous profanity. So I'm going to try to do the show without too much profanity and see how that works. So if I'm, sometimes I'm just talking. So y'all let me know if I say a profane word, let me know in the chat room over here. You dig? Because I get off into a rant and don't be knowing. But a lot of stuff going on. You're up there in Washington State. Washington State, as we know, they have a high concentration of white nationalists in Washington State. There are a lot of white nationalists in Washington State. As a matter of fact, a group of white nationalists attacked a black DJ up there at a club up there in Washington State. Lot of skinheads, neo-Nazis, a gang of them up there. A lot of those Proud Boys, a lot of them up there in Washington State. Well, today in one of these suburbs outside of Seattle, this very white area called Port Orchard. Port Orchard, that's a place that's like damn near 90% white, like 80-something percent white. From what I've heard, they used to pass out Klan flyers and Nazi flyers in this place. This place is kind of a hotbed for white supremacists up there. Do you know there was a tornado up there today in Port Orchard? A rare tornado hit that place today and caused a lot of devastation. Wow. That's crazy, ain't it? Well, nature is really, some folks are saying that's Ogun. Some people are saying that's Oya. Some people are saying it's some Shango energy going on. But damn, you notice a lot of these places, these little low-key white supremacist enclaves are getting hit with these natural disasters like real random. That's some random shit right there. Oops. Damn. My bad. My bad. I wasn't supposed to cuss, y'all. I gotta check myself, but that's some random frickum frackum stuff. That's some random stuff for a tornado to hit Washington State. That's not even a tornado area. My goodness. That's crazy. That is crazy. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you know, on Twitter just now, I was talking to some people on Twitter. There was a white gentleman. He works at, I think, the Baltimore Sun. And he put up a tweet. He said, "Are there any black journalists out here who's interested in getting a writing job? Send me your resume and I put it on the desk of my editor." Okay? So this white gentleman trying to, you know, I think that was a noble gesture. That was a noble gesture. I'm not mad at him at all for doing that. But he put that tweet up. And do you know all these other groups started hopping in the comment section hating? They start hopping in the comment section talking about, hey, what about other people of color? What about us? What would you take a Filipino writer? What about other people of color? I mean, they jumped in the comment section real heavy, hating. They on there talking about, well, that's kind of racist. Wait a minute. All these other people of color groups, black folks, we have caped for them so long, they now feel entitled to anything that's supposed to be set aside for us. That's how entitled they become because of our damn caping and the John Lewis's and all these people and all these other Sambos and Mannies. These people feel like they're entitled to anything that we remotely get thought about. It's not even given to us. Just the fact that they're even thinking about us as a group, as black people as a group, all these other people of color groups start hating. This is why, black folks, I really, really want y'all to get this in your brain. We cannot cape for these other groups. I really want y'all to understand that we just cannot cape for them. We've done enough for them. Black Americans, we've done enough for all these other groups. We've done so much for them to the point where they just take it for granted and they expect it. And they're damn near demanding that we do things for them and step up for them, and it's not reciprocated. They've become just disrespectful with their expectations. And I blame a lot of us for wearing the damn cape for the last 50 years. We got to take the capes off, Black America. They got to hold their own nuts. Nuts is not a bad word. I can say that. That Rainbow Coalition nonsense Jesse Jackson did. Yes, indeed. That's that Jesse Jackson. Ain't no Rainbow Coalition. Ain't nobody rainbowing with us. When you have all these other groups, you can publicly say, hey, we're setting aside jobs for Asians. Nobody says anything. We're setting aside jobs for Latinos. Nobody's saying anything. We're setting aside jobs for the LGBT community. Nobody says anything. But when you say we're setting aside jobs for black people, oh, wait a minute now. That's reverse racism now. These are the people, forget about the white people. They come in too. You know, they gonna hate, but I'm looking at all these other people of color hating. That's the thing that I'm tripping on. All these other so-called people of color that we keep caping for, they're the ones hating. Black folks, get off that. There is no coalition. All these other groups are against us, and they expect us to be their damn slaves. They expect us to be their slaves. They expect us to cape for them in a non-reciprocal manner. It's over. We will do that no more. We're not caping for no other groups. That immigrant stuff that's going on, that has nothing to do with us. I'm going to drill this into black people's heads. This has to be drilled in your heads. We have no friends. We simply have no friends, and we have to accept that reality. Because these people are just getting so disrespectful to the point that they're looking at us like we're their slaves. And I'm talking about all these other so-called people of color groups. Now, on an individual level, yeah, we're cool. I'm cool with a lot of people on an individual level. But on as far as groups, we got to be on top of our game. We really have to be on top of our game. Did you guys see some of my tweets earlier where I was talking about a situation in Killeen, Texas? Let me see if I can find something. Hold on. This happened in Killeen, Texas, where this Asian worker, this Asian female worker at this shop, this donut shop, got into a fight with a black kid. There's a black kid in this donut shop. The Asian girl who worked behind the counter, her dad is the owner of the shop. The Asian lady, and I'm trying to find the tweets where she admitted to starting the fight. The Asian lady got into an argument with the teenager. He's a high school student. And she started hurling insults and she started threatening him. Then she hauled off and hit him. He hit this young man, this little boy. He's a little kid. She hit him, called him all types of N-words, called him the N-word. Let me see if I can find the clip of it. And what happened was the little boy went and got his sisters, and his sisters came and put the brakes on her. They put them hands on her. The sisters came and put the paws on the girl. And they're still treating her like a victim. Now I want to play a clip of the interview she did, because they're still portraying her like she's a victim. Now listen to this. Let me turn down my Mackie music. That's City Lights, by the way. We're going to perform that song this Saturday in Atlanta. But this is Vicky Tith. That's her name.
We must warn you, some of the images and language in this report is disturbing.
I kind of made the first threat. I was like, bro, like, you need to get out because I'm about to reach across this counter.
Okay, so that's the store worker. She's like, bro, you better get out because I'm about to reach across this counter. So she's admitting that she made the first threat. All right, this is an Asian chick. She looked like she's Cambodian or something.
Words leading to this. Two shocking videos of a fight at the best donut shop in Killeen.
Basically, he came in, I'm trying to handle other customers, and then he interrupts me while I'm like helping somebody. So I'm thinking he's gonna make it quick, you know, hey, what do you want? And then I felt like he was trying to be smart, or like he thought he was slick, you know, because he had me going back and forth, like, I don't know, he was being funny. And then so I finally gave him his stuff, and I was like, all right, now get out.
The teenager didn't leave, and that's when she says things got physical.
So then I jump across the counter, and then I strike him first.
Now y'all hear that? She strikes him first. She jumps across the counter and hit him. Yeah?
This.
I didn't know he was getting his sisters. I thought he was just talking whatever trash he was talking in here. Then his sister.
So I didn't know he was getting his sisters.
Sisters come in and they're like, whatever, jump across this counter.
During the altercation.
Whatever means she got the brakes beat off of her. That's whatever.
The 19-year-old employee confirms she did say racial slurs.
Well, now she confirmed she used racial slurs, but listen to how she's justifying her racial slurs.
I was saying the N-word, not with a hard ER. I wasn't saying it in a derogatory way, you know?
She was saying it, but not with the hard ER. She was saying the N-word, but not with the hard ER. You know, so while you're beating up a black kid, you're saying the N-word, but you're not using the hard ER, so that makes it better.
I'm saying it in a derogatory way, you know? I was saying it how it's said amongst the community. I'm not racist. I have black nieces, cousins, brothers-in-laws. Like, I grew up around a lot of black people, so those are my people.
Okay. Let me put my Mac and music back on. Y'all hear that garbage? I wish I could curse today. Well, I'm not going to curse. And, you know, I blame a lot of these Negroes who lay up with those type of chicks. I'm blaming a lot of you Negroes. Y'all let them get away with a lot of stuff. Y'all let them talk real slick. Y'all give them a pass because you like exotic sex. So they think they have a green light because they laying up with you that they can go around pressing up on black people using the N-word. And she knows what she was doing. Too many people in their community, they've gotten comfortable with being able to beat up on black folks with impunity. They've gotten comfortable with all the Peter Liangs and all of these Asian people beating up people at beauty supply stores. So all of them are trying to get in on the action. And what this chick tried to do, she tried to pull the same move that was done on Kareem Hunt, where these non-black women roll up on brothers and assault brothers and use the N-word, and their brothers strike back in any form or even just yell at them, they get to play victim. Luckily, this young man went and got his sisters, and his sisters brought the spirit of Ogun in there on her. But what's interesting is they're still treating her like a victim, even though this woman has admitted that she started it. She started the threats. She admitted that she jumped over the counter and hit this kid. She admitted that she used racial slurs. She tried to clean it up, but they're still portraying her as a victim. And that's the thing that we have to keep in mind. I want you to notice that black males in particular, black people in general, but black males in particular, you notice we're never seen as victims of anything. Have you noticed that? Black people, especially black males, at the hands of other groups, other racial groups, we're never seen as victims, no matter what they do to us. No matter what they do to us, we're never portrayed as the damn victim. I want y'all to notice that. Anytime we have some kind of altercation, whoever we have the altercation with is always the victim, even if they instigated, even if they started it, even if they ambushed us, just like George Zimmerman ambushed Trayvon Martin, but Zimmerman was the victim. There's nothing that can be done to us that would put us in the victim mode, because if you claim that somebody's a victim, that means that they didn't deserve what happened to them. So what this means is anything that happens to a black person at the hands of another group, they deserve it. We deserve any type of harm that comes our way. We are never seen as the victims. You dig? Even when we're lying there dead, we're still seen as the aggressor. Even when it's children who you can't really demonize, they'll start demonizing their parents, just like they did with Tamir Rice. They never portray Tamir Rice as a victim. They never portray him as a victim. What they do, they start demonizing his parents. You notice that with black teenagers and black adults, they vilify them. When they're black children and they become victimized by non-black people, they find a way to vilify their parents. I want y'all to notice that. So remember, when Tamir Rice, you can't vilify a 12-year-old. He didn't have no jail record or anything like that, so you couldn't really vilify him. So they went after his parents. Oh, his parents did this. Oh, his parents have a jail record. Remember when the kid fell into the cage with that gorilla in Ohio? He fell in that gorilla cage. They didn't really portray that kid as a victim. They started going in on that little boy's parents. Remember that? When that kid fell into the gorilla cage, Harimbi, they had to shoot Harimbi. They were more mad that Harimbi got shot. They were more upset that Harimbi was the damn victim. I think they had a little GoFundMe for Harimbi's family. Harimbi was the victim. The gorilla was the damn victim. Instead of this little kid saying, hey, oh my God, I hope this little kid is safe. These bastards were talking about, well, damn, why'd you have to kill Harimbi? Why did you have to do that? Poor Harimbi. And then they started to demonize the little boy's dad. Well, you know, his dad has a jail record. His dad wasn't even at the zoo. What does his dad got to do with anything about? The dad wasn't nowhere to be found. The dad had nothing to do with the gorilla. The dad wasn't even at the zoo. Well, his dad has a jail record, too. You know, his dad has been in and out of jail, too. That's for them to demonize the child by proxy by saying, look at what this child came from. He came from a family of victimizers he came from a family of villains. So culturally, by proxy, he's a villain too. He's somebody who you shouldn't feel pity for because of his culture, because of negative black culture. He came from that. So eventually he was going to grow up and be like his dad. So what happened to him wasn't so bad. See, that's what they try to do, that by proxy demonization. That's what they're trying to say. Well, yeah, he got shot, but look at his parents. So he was going to grow up to be a criminal anyway. So we did a good job by shooting that little 9-year-old. You got to understand the sick psychosis of the white supremacists and their asinine mindset, that guilt by association. But the fact that, and this goes back to earlier, whenever we as black people are offered anything, other people have a tissy fit about it. This is why we have to be bold and unapologetic about the things that we need for us. We got to stop tiptoeing about it. As a group, we're going to have to start being bold. People asking in the chat room who's watching live why I don't have a picture up. I wanted to be on camera because I wanted to show this beautiful shirt. That's why. I wanted to show my beautiful shirt off. That's why I wanted to get on camera and chop it up with the family today. I know I'm on camera. I'm on camera chopping it up. You dig? But all these other groups that we are caping for, it is never reciprocated. Black people, that's part of the code that we have to get on tonight. If you're not on the code, we just can't cape for all these other groups. The capes come off. We can't cape for nobody no more, man. It's done. We empower people to disempower us. We simply can't cape for people no more. And we got to watch these Negroes out here who are acting as mascots. This is why they're getting a lot of these African and Caribbean immigrants to be their mascots. And I know a lot of people, and I got a lot of African and Caribbean brothers and sisters who listen to the show. A lot of them sometimes get upset. They think I'm too hard on them. Well, the thing is, we have a coon problem out here. The coon problem is heavy. And everybody's going to have to get called to the fire. That's just what it is. Everybody's going to have to get called to the fire. If I see some of my immigrant family on some BS, you're going to have to get called to the fire. We're going to have to call you out. There's a lot of stuff that you're going to have to get called out for. And a lot of, and we got our coons, our domestic coons here who act as mascots, and we call them out. Don't act like we ain't calling out the Jesse Lee Petersons and the Larry Elders. We call out our Omarosas and all. We call ours out, and we're going to call out the international ones too. We're going to call all of them out. There's some people might get their feelings hurt. Some people might get upset, but that's just part of the game. I'm not here to kind of make everybody feel good. You know, I'm here to bring truth to power. But a lot of us and a lot of black people who come from other countries, they come over here and act as mascots for these other groups that disempower us. For example, what's the lady's name who climbed the Statue of Liberty? Patricia Okumu, that's her name. Well, they just, there was a situation where they just convicted her. She was found guilty for climbing up the Statue of Liberty. Y'all remember she did that a few months ago. This African immigrant sister climbed the Statue of Liberty because of the kids that were being detained. You know, she was being the sacrificial Negro. I'm going to climb up here and risk my life for all these other groups. What's her name? Patricia Akumu. I can't think of her last name. I think that's her name. The thing is, she's part of a group. She's part of an organization. What? Something. It was some white LGBT organization that she's a part of, really. She's a part of some kind of white LGBT organization. Those are the people who are really backing her. And her thing is, you know, she's out there on some kumbaya. She's out there wearing these color purple dresses with the word Shiro on it. I mean, she's really trying to milk it. You know, they're throwing her crumbs. And they're going to try to make her the face of immigration. And we got to watch out for being that mascot. Because these people will parade us around so that they can get all types of funding. They need our faces in order to get funding. They need our faces out there in the forefront for them to get funding, because it's hard for people who are classified as white to justify getting any type of funds because they've been so-called discriminated against. Because if you are a white person, you are a privileged person, no matter what's your sexual orientation or your religious orientation. You do have privileges, and people know that. So they have to parade a black person around to act as a mascot and compare yourself to them in order for you to get all these resources and millions of dollars of donations and all this stuff. So that's what they're parading her around for. They're going to push her out there even more and act like she's a martyr for the cause. And with her, you know, watch out for people. They'll use the term white supremacy in a very vague way, because she had a shirt like, "We got to fight white supremacy," but every one of her pictures, she hugged up with white people. You know, her little old African tap shoes are really, really pounding the pavement. I'm not putting her on the train, but there's a lot of soft shoeing that's going on with her. And they're talking about she might get 18 months in jail. I don't think she'll get that long, but I don't know. But the thing is, she's been doing a lot of caping for these other groups. So, you know, I want to see what these other groups going to do to help her out. I want to see what these other groups that she's been caping for, I want to see what they're going to do to step up to the plate for her. Because black folks, y'all better understand, a lot of these black people out here who's been tap dancing and bed wenching for mommy and zaddy are turning on you. A lot of black folks thought that they were going to be the safe Negro. You were just going to kind of ride the wave and, you know, not rock the boat. They're throwing you under the bus. They got Kevin Hart. I'm not saying Kevin Hart was on the train, but Kevin Hart, he was one of the safe Negroes. They threw Kevin under the bus. Somebody else they threw under the bus was Alice Walker. Did y'all see what was going on with Alice Walker? They randomly threw her under the bus. Alice Walker, she did some kind of interview or something with the New York Times. I'm kind of paraphrasing what happened, but they asked her about some book recommendations, and what happened, she recommended like 5 books, and one of the books was a book by David Icke. He's one of these Alex Jones reptilians, the Illuminati, the Bilderbergs. He's one of them kind. So because she recommended his book, they started saying that she was anti-Semitic, because a lot of David Icke's books talk about the Rothschilds. You know, they use all that coded anti-Semitic stuff about the Jewish families running this and that. Really, they do all that as a way to deflect from white supremacy, to make it seem like it ain't white supremacy, it's Jewish supremacy. It's that bullshit. So they threw her under the bus, which was really interesting, instead of throwing David Icke under the bus for his book. Notice that. That's white supremacy right there. Look how white supremacy leaps over the criticism of other white people. She gets thrown under the bus and for co-signing a white man, and the white man didn't get thrown under the bus. Wow. And remember, Alice Walker, she wrote The Color Purple, one of the most anti-black male pieces in a long time. The Color Purple really kicked off a lot of the anti-black male propaganda that started resurfacing in the 80s. You know, she was the one who coined the term womanist. See, all these shea butters, they thought if they start claiming feminist and womanist and all these other names that you were going to somehow negate your blackness. And at the end of the day, they treated you just like another Negro. So y'all think your sexuality and your political leanings, all of that is going to trump your blackness, and y'all always get thrown back under the bus. So all you shea butters, y'all need to learn. And another thing too, I was talking about this on Twitter. I was going in on some of the shea butters, and there was a white girl popped in the comment section. She's like, what does shea butter mean? What does it mean in correlation to an insult? I don't know what it means. And there was a couple of Negroes just hopped in automatically trying to explain to her what we mean when we refer to somebody as a shea butter. There's a couple of Negroes jumping in there. And I'm like, if y'all Negroes don't sit the hell down, we got to stop being the damn tour guide for all these other people. Just because they want to know the definition of something, we ain't got to explain stuff to them all the time. Black people, she don't have to know that. And I said, that ain't nothing that she needs to know. We got to stop running and jumping and translating and being the jungle guide to every damn body. It ain't none of her business what it means. That's the problem. We're so busy explaining our terminologies, we don't know how to get on code. That's another thing. We're going to have to come up with a new rule book. We're going to have to add to our Brother Neely Fuller's code book. Stop teaching non-black people certain codes and jargon and language that we use. Cut that out. We got to stop being the damn Sambo translators for every damn body. We need coded messages. We need to do like them. They have a whole coded language with the white supremacists, cuck, and all of those are coded little white supremacist languages. All their little hand signals. That's why they get mad at me, because I study them and I call out their little hand signals, their little okay signals, the little stuff that they type, the little words that they use. I be deciphering their little codes, and they hate that. That's why they try to go after me so much. But yeah, Negroes, every time somebody white demands an answer to something, you ain't got to give it to them. My God, Negroes always want to be the jungle guide. Over here, we go over here to the tree. Over here. No, you ain't got to translate over here. This means, shut up. Man. But the thing is, you know, this sister, Patricia Okumu, you know, she's really an advocate for all these other immigrant groups and the LGBT community and all that stuff. And black folks, we're going to have to start doing like these other groups. Whenever people start using people of color and they start talking about this LGBT organization is going to get umpteen million dollars, and this Hispanic group is going to get umpteen million dollars, and this Asian group, we need to do what they do. Where's our piece of that money? We need to say, where is a piece of our money? That's discriminatory to give it to that one group. Stop being afraid, black people, to say, hey, where is ours? We ain't no slaves. We don't owe nobody nothing. Black people, we don't have to march for nobody. We don't have to stand up for no other group at all. We've done enough as black Americans. We've done enough. We built a whole country where other people can come in and benefit and live and bubble off of. We've done enough. We are the only group, Black Americans, who have fought to defend this country in every single war they've been in. We're the only group who can say that. Let me say this again, and I want Black folks to really get this in your brain. Black Americans are the only group that has fought in every single war to defend the United States. Do you? And I mean every group, including white people. White people as a group have not done that. Some of the white people over here, they were in countries that were in war with the United States. Some of these white immigrants who come over here, we were at war with their countries. Not even the ones who are from other places, even white people in the South. There were white people in the South that fought against the United States and tried to destroy it. They were called the Confederates. Understand, when people have Confederate flags, those are white people who fought against the United States. So they can't even claim what we can claim. No one is more of a true of American than Black Americans. We are the embodiment of what America is. We are the only people who have built this country and defended this country from top to bottom. No other group can claim that. I really want y'all to get that in your brain and stop letting people minimize you by comparing you to other groups. Ain't no damn comparison. Black people were the first to die for this country. Crispus Attucks. You understand? So we got to really get that straight. And we got to stop being afraid to say that and to speak that. We are an exceptional people, as our brother Claude Anderson likes to say. We are an exceptional people. We are very exceptional. And we're going to have to start looking out for each other. We're going to have to start speaking up for ourselves, and that means we got to get on code. We ain't got to gather all up in one place. We just got to get on code. And the thing is, a lot of these other groups who come over, who look like us, they're going to have to get on code too. And that's the problem. You got a lot of people who come over here looking like us, but they're not on code. They think there's something else. This is where we get back into the immigrant thing. And there are Black immigrants who come over who are completely off code. They think there's something else. And they get lumped in with us, but in their minds, they're not us, so they actually work against us, so that keeps us disempowered. So this is why I get on a lot of the immigrant brothers. When I say immigrants, I'm talking about the Black immigrants. This is why I get on them a lot, because we've kind of given them a pass for a long time. They've been able to kind of slip under the radar, and we think, okay, that's one of our people or whatever. We don't even know. We don't know what's going on in their minds. And when you start looking at certain things and certain people who are undermining Black society, you start seeing patterns. This is why lately you notice I've been going in on a lot of these immigrants, because when I look at Shea Butter Twitter, when I look at some of these feminists, Black feminists, and all these moist dudes working at these major publications with the white media companies, I'm noticing patterns online and also in their publications. I'm noticing a lot of these African last names. When I see them online, I notice all of these foreign flags. When you see shows like Insecure, you start seeing that they're from, all these people are from different countries. So there's a psychological disconnect from us culturally, and we don't see it. Because Black people over here, we look, everybody's our brother and sister. Even we don't give a shit. We look at everybody as our brother and sister, but everybody don't look at us the same. We don't catch that. We don't catch that. And that's something that we need to catch, so we can start saying, hey, wait a minute, brother, I see you got a Ghanaian flag, brother. Are you about empowerment, or are you just trying to get some butter biscuits with some jollof rice with it? What you trying to do? Then you look at these Black gossip sites. Again, I'm looking at all these patterns. When I see these Black gossip sites, I'm seeing these African names, when I see all these, this imagery of us looking negative, like World Star, I'm looking at non-native black people running this stuff with no conscience on the effect that it has on us. They don't have any conscience about it because hell, they're getting theirs. So we got to start looking at certain people and kind of saying, hey, look, if you're not going to get on code, we're going to treat your ass like an enemy too. You will get treated like an enemy and you will get called out. The other day I was talking about some of the reports about high instances of AIDS. And a lot of cats, a lot of our Caribbean brothers and sisters and African brothers and sisters got a little upset with me because I was saying that the increase in some of the AIDS statistics is partially because you have immigrants who come over from other black countries who bring it over and they get counted in with us. And a lot of cats got mad, and that's just what it is. I only bring truth to power. And you can Google certain documents, certain legitimate documents that show there has been a problem with them. People who take the stats, it's been a problem with them trying to differentiate between the black people who are born here or the African-born black people, who's bringing the AIDS virus over and who already has it here. They've been trying to, well, they claim they've been trying to differentiate the stats, but they don't do it. And that's been an issue with a lot of AIDS statistics. They don't know who's bringing it over and who is getting it here. That's been an issue. You can Google this. So meanwhile, they just lump all of us in. And unfortunately, these are some facts. There are a lot of African immigrants who bring AIDS over. They do have AIDS. You understand that many of the AIDS cases are in Africa, unfortunately. Not saying that Africa is just a disease-ridden country. No, no, no. Let's get off that. And some people were saying, well, they screen you and they allow you to come over. They won't allow you to come over. They see that you have a disease. Do you know? That's not true. Obama stopped that. I think Obama stopped that in around 2009. They relaxed some of those screening processes. And Obama was responsible for that. Obama said, hey, no, 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 we can't be doing that. No, people have a disease. No, they gotta, you know, it was that type of thing. So they lifted a lot of those screenings around 2009, 2010, so that people can come over and they have HIV. Y'all better look this stuff up. I don't just be whistling Dixie. Look up some of this stuff. And I'm bringing this up to say the image of black people getting AIDS because it's a bunch of straight men, straight black men on the down low, that's been the image that's been portrayed for a long time. That's been the image that's been portrayed for a long time. And you got to understand, places like The Root and all these folks and all these other publications, especially the white ones, they love using propaganda to throw straight black men under the bus. So they keep talking about all this AIDS is popping off because there's straight black men out here secretly on the down low infecting all these unsuspecting people. So it puts American black people on the villain list. You understand? Now, there are some cases of bisexual brothers going in and out. There are some cases of that, but that just doesn't explain why so many women have it. And it doesn't explain why a lot of immigrant women have it. You understand? And the other day I pointed out, you see a lot of places that have a high influx of African and Caribbean immigrants, you see a lot of AIDS pop up. And not all cities, but you see an increase in a lot of cities. And again, I'm not making it seem like all African people are bringing over AIDS. I am not saying that at all. But there are people who do have AIDS and HIV. And when they come here, they get counted in with black society, and they do not differentiate between native black people and black people from the diaspora. They just don't do it. They don't. And let me get even deeper, because I know that's a touchy subject, because I know a lot of my African brothers and sisters, they do want to get away from that stigma. When they come over here, a lot of my African brothers and sisters, they're almost embarrassed by the stereotypical image of Africa. And I understand that. They want to show, hey, you know, we ain't all poor, we ain't all on AIDS, we ain't all hungry. You know, I get that. I understand that. I understand that heavy. A lot of my African brothers and sisters who are immigrants are some of the hardest working people you ever want to meet. Everybody from Africa and the Caribbean are not on the coon train. I ain't saying that at all. I fuck with African and Caribbean people heavy. You understand? The thing is, I always notice there's no real middle ground. Either they're going to be down, they're going to be hella thorough, or they're going to be on that damn coon train with some jerk chicken on it. But let me get real deep, though, for some of the people who got a little mad about me talking about AIDS and African immigrants, because you about to be real mad. You better put on your cape, because you're going to be super mad. You better put on your swimming flippers, because you about to be Aquaman. You better put on your wings, because you about to be Batman. You better get a spider web, because you about to be Spider-Man. Now, let me give you my conjecture on why there's so many cases of women, especially immigrant women, African immigrant women, popping up with HIV and AIDS, even on the continent of Africa. Think about that. Why do y'all think a lot of African women, even on the continent, even here, showing up with HIV? And look, I've talked to black people who work at clinics out here in the U.S., and they say that a lot of immigrant women come in there with HIV. This is what they say. Why do y'all think that is? Why do y'all think a lot of women, African women, are getting HIV? Because a lot of people, you know, we know that they brought over the vaccines and all that stuff. We know that, but a lot of people aren't getting vaccines like that. The real secret to why a lot of these sisters are getting AIDS is because they're laying up with nasty ass zaddy. It's these white dudes that's giving them the AIDS, and that's the secret people don't want to talk about. It's that damn bed wenching. See, they keep throwing up this smoke screen of black man on the down low, black man on the down low, black man. That's the white media doing that shit. It's white zaddy. Oh, I said the S word. I'm sorry. I cursed. I ain't trying to curse. But let me just keep it 100. It's zaddy giving them AIDS and HIV. The problem is too many African women, and we're going to speak truth to power. I don't give a damn about y'all being mad. Some of these African women will sleep with any damn white man on the planet. They don't care what he looks like, what he smells like, what he has. They will sleep with a white man just because he's white. And these white men be having all types of damn diseases, and nobody talks about that. That's where a lot of this AIDS is coming from, family. Let's start talking truth to power. I saw some stuff over there where there was some African women, like refugees, going over there to like Germany somewhere, and literally the minute they touch the soil, they find a white man to have an anchor baby with. I've been all over Africa. You let a white man walk off in a village, he can have sex with damn near every woman in some of these villages over there. We're going to have to keep it 100. We're going to have to keep it 100, family. A lot of these sisters will sleep with any white man. There is no criteria. There's this myth that sisters get with the top-notch white men. That is a damn lie. That is the biggest hunk of garbage. They'll sleep with, some of these sisters sleep with any damn white man. It's zaddy that's having all that HIV, giving it to folks. Over there and over here. There was a case a few months ago. Do y'all remember back in July? There was a white supremacist. This dude, he was a Klansman. His name was Ronald Lee Kidwell. He was out there in Kansas. Ronald Lee Kidwell, I mean, he was a card-carrying white supremacist. I mean, he was a Klan member. And what he would do, he was HIV positive. And what he would do, he would have sex with black women. He would meet these old, desperate black women, and he would have sex with them, giving them AIDS. Google his name. Google his name. Ronald Lee Kidwell, and he actually killed this one sister named Michonne Cooper because she was going to expose that he had AIDS. He was messing with this sister, and she was going to expose that he had AIDS, so he killed her. Do you understand me? But he was going around giving AIDS to sisters deliberately. A lot of these white dudes got AIDS. A lot of them got HIV. Look at Charlie Sheen. You think Charlie Sheen is the only one? Charlie Sheen had AIDS HIV for the longest, and they kept it secret. The media knew. They know everything about these folks in Hollywood. They know about all these little payouts and all that. Charlie Sheen had to come public with it, but they knew about that. You think they didn't know about Charlie Sheen and his damn AIDS and HIV? Yeah, that white supremacist diced that sister up, chopped her damn body up. Dude, do y'all remember the Sperminator out of New York? There was a dude out of New York called the Sperminator. It was a white dude named Ari Nagel. There's a white dude in New York. Remember him? Where he was just having sex with random black women in bathrooms, knocking them up. The word got around that there's a white man that'll have sex with you and knock you up. His name was Ari Nagel. They called him the Sperminator because he fathered like 26 kids or something like that. I'm looking at something now. It's 33. I'm late. Well, I'm later. Now, okay, I'm looking at something else. Now it's 42. I'm looking at the articles now. The number keeps going up on each article I'm looking at. So he has almost 40 children as of October 2018. He has almost 40 children. The Sperminator, this white man who was basically having sex with all these black immigrant women. Most of these women were black immigrants. Most of the women that the Sperminator was having sex with were African and Caribbean immigrants. Do you understand? Look him up. So he's having random sex with all these women, and these are just the ones who got knocked up. It could be in the thousands. It could be in the thousands. These are just the ones that got knocked up. Do you think that dude don't have nothing? He's having sex with random women in bathrooms. You think that dude don't have nothing? People never look at it from that perspective. They almost look at it like it's cute because it's black women. So it's like, okay, they sluts anyway. So it's okay for him to just kind of slut it out with them. They don't look at him as negative. They gave him a cute name, the Sperminator. The Sperminator. Let a black dude have all them kids by different women in bathrooms. They test him for every type of disease. They'll be suing that dude for spreading diseases. You know this dude, the Sperminator, got something. You know he gotta have something. But a lot of these immigrant women don't care. Long as it's white zaddy, they do not care. Yeah, I'm trying my best not to curse. And this happens a lot, family. It ain't just you think it's just the Sperminator? These women to come over and have sex with anything white. That's why the Proud Boys and all that, these are white supremacist groups, and they have these immigrant women that's caking with them and cupcaking and wiping up with them. But that's the secret that's never talked about in the white media. a lot of AIDS is coming from these white dudes out here. You think, look, especially with the opioid and all the drug use and the heroin, whenever you got a drug epidemic, the diseases are going to come all the way through too. You guys, have you people traveled around middle America and seen all these heroin addict, junkie, opioid, meth zombies out here? Y'all need to take a glimpse of middle America and see what's out here. These people are sharing needles. Y'all know they got all types of stuff. They just don't publicize it in the media. What y'all see on the media is what they want you to see. They want you to see the upscale, always in control white person and all that. I was in Hollywood. Y'all saw I did an Instagram snap in Hollywood. I was in Hollywood, and I rarely go to Hollywood. I was handling business. I was getting clothes and stuff, getting ready to travel. And I was in some of my old stomping grounds, Hollywood. I used to hang out in Hollywood as a kid a lot. And nothing has really changed. It's basically gotten worse. But I saw a lot of these white junkies walking around. And I noticed there's just a bunch of white junkies walking around Hollywood. I mean, looking like they got every disease known to man. When y'all think of Hollywood, y'all think, you know, on TV, you're going to see, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio. You go to real Hollywood, you go to Hollywood Boulevard, it's junkie meth head city. You understand? And some of these immigrant women, they come up over here and they'll sleep with them junkie meth heads simply because they're white. You dig? Somebody in the chat room says sharing needles is the number one way. Exactly. These people out here sharing needles, doing God knows what, and that's the thing they don't tell you about. So that's why we see a lot of AIDS increases popping up in certain black areas. It's some of these women out here fucking with Zaddy. That's who's giving it to them. And a lot of these women out here laying up with Zaddy, and they're ashamed, and they'll do it on the low. A lot of these women are laying up with Zaddy on the damn low. That's what y'all need to be looking into. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I wanted to touch on this thing. It was a report that came out today about Russian hackers influencing the election. And we've been hearing a lot about these Russian hackers. And I'm going to read the article. Let me look it up real quickly. There's several articles that came out about it. Okay, so let me read the New York Times. It says, the Russian influence operation targeted African Americans on social media. It said the Russian influence campaign on social media started in 2016, made an extraordinary effort to target African Americans, and they used an array of tactics to try to suppress the turnout among Democratic voters and unleashed a blizzard of activity on Instagram that rivaled or exceeded its post on Facebook, according to a report. Basically, they were talking about these Russians who were pretending to be black, and they were trying to persuade black people to not vote and stay home and all this old stuff. And the whole narrative that they're trying to create, and I don't want to read all of it, but the whole narrative is basically black people didn't vote and Trump won. It was black people's fault that Trump won. So this thing has a couple of agendas. Number one, they get to blame black folks like they always do. This is another way to blame black people. They always find a way to blame us for something. So Trump is in office because black folks didn't vote, because the Russians tricked us because we were too dumb. Black people were dumb and the Russians got online and they tricked us out of voting. That's why we got Trump. The Russians outsmarted black folks and they got online and they were pretending to be black and they created all these fake black pages and manipulated our little Negro minds. So that's the narrative that they're running with. We didn't vote because the Russians tricked us. They've used that narrative before. Even during Jim Crow, they would say the Russians are trying to work with the Negroes against democracy, or the Russians and the communists. Oh, they did that whole thing with Paul Robeson. Remember that? The communists, Paul, the Negroes are getting with the Russians and the communists. Dr. Martin Luther King is a communist. Watch all those words. Watch these little code words. That's going back to that old the Negroes are communist thing. That's an old thing they've been doing. They've been doing that since the 60s and hell, the 40s, they've been doing that. They've been doing that. They've been doing that. Black folks are getting duped by the commies. Here they go. That's some of that old garbage. And this is the thing, and somebody in the chat room said MLK was a communist, but he wasn't in cahoots with the damn Russians. Stop it. Because that's what that commie thing means. That means that you have outside forces that's going to influence black folks to harm American democracy. That's what that narrative is about. So yeah, they've been doing that garbage for a long time. And understand this. First of all, black folks, we know some of these people are fake black folks online. We know, we've called them out many times. We know that these people, most of these people are fake. We know that many of these people who create these fake pages, these extra blackity black pages, we know for the most part. You know, and I talked about this many times. Whenever you see these Facebook pages and some of these Twitter pages where there's some kind of faceless person on there, you don't see their face, but everything is extra, extra black. Pictures of Africa, people, pictures of dashikis. Usually those are some white supremacists. But the thing is, many black people, we didn't get manipulated by the Russians. They didn't do anything to really influence us. Look, we've had black people in our own communities, some of our thought leaders, telling us for decades to not let our vote be taken for granted. You had brothers like Malcolm X talking about the ballot or the bullet. Malcolm said, treat your ballot like a bullet. And if there's not a target, put your bullet back in your pocket. You had Malcolm telling us this in the 60s. You had John Henry Clark telling us how to leverage our vote. You have brothers like Claude Anderson for decades telling us how to leverage our vote. Wasn't no damn Russians. We just started to take heed to the words of the elders. We didn't get tricked into doing anything. We just started to use the common sense that God gave us, and we started to take heed to our own elders. But the white supremacists, they love taking credit for stuff. This is a way for them to feel powerful. They don't want to give up a narrative that black people are thinking for themselves and we made a political decision, because that's what this was. Holding on to our vote was our political decision. We made a decision that actually worked. Let me tell you something. Us not voting actually worked, because we knew Trump getting into office, and people try to throw Trump in our face like, hey, man, shit, y'all voting. That's why we got Trump. So, okay, we got Trump. So, what is Trump doing to us that didn't happen under Obama? What the hell is Trump doing to us that did not happen under Obama? Talking about, that's why you got Trump. But so? Nothing's happening to us under Trump that's as bad as what happened under everybody else, up under Hillary and all these other people. Nothing. He ain't doing us no favors, but he hasn't moved the needle one way or another. As a matter of fact, he's so focused on hitting these other groups, we've been kind of chilling for a minute. That's why they've been trying to grab us. Hey, come on, we all in this together. No. Hold your own nuts. Hold your own nuts. didn't get tricked by anybody. We're starting to get on code and we're starting to get smart about the way we make moves. But they don't want to give us that credit. They don't want to say black people are being more politically astute. No, no, no. Black people got tricked. The reason they didn't vote, not because they made a decision. Other white people tricked them. Y'all got to understand how white supremacy is. They love giving themselves credit for shit. Anything that we do, they love giving themselves credit. Even sports. You know, the fact that they can't really beat black athletes, that's one thing. So they flipped it so that they could get credit for it because they couldn't beat black athletes. Because at first they would try to say, oh, the black Greek god is going to beat the African. So you would have people like Jack Johnson beating the brakes off of these white boxers. So they had to change the narrative up. You had these black players who were dominant, like in the Negro Leagues and all that. So you had to change the strategy up because, you know, the white players, they couldn't compete with the Negro League players. They couldn't compete whatsoever. So you had to trickle some Negroes into the major leagues. So, you know, like Jackie Robinson, you had to trickle them in. And what they do with athletes, and somebody got off code, and some of y'all old enough to remember this. Somebody got off code and spoke how a lot of white supremacists feel. This happened, I think, in the late 80s. There was a white commentator named Jimmy the Greek. Do y'all remember Jimmy the Greek? How many of y'all remember Jimmy the Greek? Some of my older players in here. There was a sports commentator named Jimmy the Greek. And Jimmy the Greek, they called him at a restaurant somewhere. He was drunk. And he got off code and messed around and told some stuff that a lot of the white supremacists talk about in private. But he said it out loud. Jimmy the Greek said something out loud. He got drunk and he slipped up and he got in a lot of trouble doing that. He said, because they were talking about athletes, and I should play it. Let me see if I can find it. But what he said was, yeah, you got a lot of these, you know, with these athletes, because of slavery, you get the one big black, you get the big black, and then you make the big black with the other female big black, and you make these big old bucks, and you, and they were probably like, oh no, Jimmy, but he can, now you make these big old blacks, you get the big black legs, and let me try to find that clip and play it. Let me find that clip. He got in a lot of trouble because of that. You're not supposed to say that out loud, because privately, the white supremacists, they believe everything Jimmy the Greek says. They believe everything he said. They believe that they're responsible for black athletes being so strong because they bred us that way. They bred us that way. So they believe that. Okay, I think this is it right here. Hold on. Let me turn my Mackie music down. So I think this is the clip right here. Hold on.
A reporter from WRC-TV was asking questions about Martin Luther King's birthday and the progress blacks have made in society. There, CBS sports commentator Jimmy the Greek Snyder gave his impressions of blacks and coaching in the National Football League. His answers could raise as much controversy as the statements by former Dodgers executive Al Campanis last April on ABC's Nightline news program.
Yeah, pretty soon they're going to have to equalize it for the blacks, for the Greeks, the Jews, and for everybody. I mean, let's make it equal for everybody, you know.
And is it equal? What about in sports?
Well, they've got everything. If they take over coaching like everybody wants them to, there's not going to be anything left for the white people.
Oh, I forgot he said that. Yeah, he didn't want black folks to take over coaching. Well, he got drunk and he was really spilling the beans. Oh, I forgot he said that part. I forgot about that. See, usually they show the part about the big black and all that, but I forgot about that part. He didn't want black folks coaching. Like, what about the white people? Hold on.
I mean, all the players are black. I mean, the only thing that the whites control is the coaching jobs. Now, I'm not being derogatory about it, but that's all that's left for them. The black talent is beautiful. It's great. It's out there. It's, you know, the only thing left for the whites is a couple coaching jobs.
Yeah, maybe we need to get more black coaches, don't
you? Oh, it's all right with me. Okay, well, I'm sure that they'll take over that pretty soon too.
WRC was apparently flooded with complaint calls after.
Hold on. I want that part where he's talking about the big black this and hold on. Where's that part? That's what I want to hear. I didn't even. That's another one. He's apparently said a lot of racist shit, but I want that part where the big black and all that stuff. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. I want to find that part. Hold on. If I could find it. I hate looking for stuff at the last minute. Hold on. Where's that part? Let me see if this is it. Hold on.
The black is the better athlete, and he's bred to be the better athlete because this goes back all the way to the Civil War, when during the slave trading, the slave owner would breed his big black to his big woman. So
his big black to his big woman. Woo! Boy, Jimmy. Do y'all know this is what they be talking about in private today? They talk like this now in private. When they're watching sports, this is what they be talking about. When they watch sports, this is what they talk about. That's why they treat Negroes like slaves. That's why they got to keep their athletes in line. Hold on.
The better athlete, because this goes back all the way to the Civil War, when during the slave trading, the slave owner would breed his big black to his big woman, so that he could have a big black kid. See,
so they can have a big black kid. Oh my God. Hold on, let me see if there's
about
more.
About black athletes.
Well, they've got everything. If they take over coaching, there isn't much left for the white guys.
Okay, hold on. That's funny. I haven't seen this clip in years.
I was trying.
Oh, now here's the splaining. Oh, now they got him splaining. Hold on.
I was telling them how superior the black athlete is over the white one.
Okay, so his splaining, he tried to splain, and the splaining was damn near just as racist. Well, the big black, you get the big black buck and then put him with his big black woman. Then they're going to have some big black kids. Oh, my
Over
God.
The white one. And for the reasons that he is, that he's the black tries harder.
He has made a big mistake.
Oh, no, they put Jesse Jackson out there. They got a clip of Jesse. Hold on.
But then all of us do.
Oh. This is Jesse Jackson out there splaining for him. Somebody cut Jesse a check. This is Jesse looking young. Jesse out there splaining. That's what they used to do back in the day. Anytime the white supremacists mess up, they'd bring Jesse out there. Hold on.
Tries harder.
He has made a big mistake. But then all of us do. And we have to, at some point in time, when people show a contrite heart, to forgive, to redeem, and to move on.
Oh, Lord. I forgot about that. They gave Jesse a check. What we got to do, people make mistakes in life. We have to love one another. We have to, we are brothers, the Rainbow Coalition. We people make mistakes. We got to learn forgiveness. You know, oh, Lord. I forgot, because Jesse's old now. He's kind of, you know, feeble now. But, yeah, Jesse, they used to wheel him out there for them butter biscuits all the time. Jesse is a piece of work. Lord. But that's what they think. They got to take credit for everything that we do. So that's them, that whole we're going to breed the big black buck with the black woman, the big old black woman, and then make some big black kids. That's them giving themselves credit. That's the white supremacists giving themselves credit. So black people are only good athletes because white people were smart enough to breed the big black and the big black woman to have the big old black babies, and then we raise them big black babies and coach them and make them superior athletes. And you only gotta have some white coaches to do that now. Oh, man. Hilarious stuff. Anyway. for Jesse. That's funny with Jesse out there explaining. Well, we all make mistakes in life. Where everybody make mistakes. That's why we must vote on Tuesday. We got to vote. Everybody, we must love one another. We got to get out here and understand that discrimination is something that we can beg for forgiveness for. I remember being on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Anyway, y'all, let me get out of here. Let me get out of here, guys. But anyway, remember, we all we got. We ain't caping for nobody. We got to be bold. And we got to be fearless in getting things that we deserve as a people, as a group. Ain't no rainbow coalition. It's a melanin coalition, and that melanin is us. You understand? Anyway, y'all, look, this Saturday, wherever you are in the country, y'all need to fly to Atlanta. You know, we got people coming in from overseas coming to the concert in Atlanta this Saturday night. There's people coming in from other countries. This is how lit the concert Saturday night is going to be. It's going to be popping Saturday night, family. You are not going to want to miss this concert. You're going to be on the you're going to be there. My brother said he's going to be there in crutches. We got a little handicap section there, brother. Y'all know you hurt your leg. We got a handicap section there. It's going to be popping. We're going to have it popping this Saturday night. I want to see your face in the place. Drive over, fly over to Atlanta this Saturday. Make it a weekend. We're going to have a great time. I hope you got your tickets now. Get your tickets now. Minkslide.com. And get your North Sentinel Island shirts. Bam. We got different colors. This is a nice blue. I love it. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. HiddenColorsFilm.com to get these shirts and get the Hidden Colors series. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to holla. When am I going to talk to you guys? I'll probably talk to you guys probably on Instagram in between now and the concert Saturday. Then I'll chop it back up with you guys on Sunday. But I'll see you guys in Atlanta this Saturday. Y'all be good.